Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, late bloomers. I think we're going to have a lovely time this hour. We're inspired by the Susan Boyle story, and I'm sure that 99.9% of the listening audience knows about the Susan Boyle story. Her appearance on Britain's Got Talent has been seen, thanks to the web, by millions and millions of people all over the world. It was the most watched video on YouTube globally last week. A little over a week ago, which is pretty remarkable, I think, Susan Boyle was an unemployed charity worker living alone with her cat, Pebbles. That's a good name for a cat, don't you think? Pebbles. In a small town in Scotland. She had been her mother's caretaker for a number of years, and her mother died 2 years ago. She goes on stage and she just wows the heck out of everybody. She is a late bloomer. The producer of Britain's Got Talent says, "This is completely unprecedented. We have had big responses in the past, but we have never seen anything on this scale before. People love an underdog, and she is the ultimate underdog." Susan is the youngest of nine children, and the story got us thinking about late bloomers. We thought it would be a wonderful way to spend an hour on the radio, and so we will. We'll be talking in just a moment with the author of a book on late bloomers, who is a self-described late bloomer herself. And we'll be hearing from many of you who I'm sure are late bloomers. One even called last hour and said, "Perhaps I should sing my question." Well, perhaps you should. You might sing, you might play guitar, you might find your passion late in life. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, for those, and you know, people like to hear this again, for those who have not heard Susan Boyle sing, this is her appearance on Britain's Got Talent.
Hi, what's your name, darling?
My name is Susan Boyle.
Okay, Susan, and where are you from?
I am from Blackburn near Bathgate, West Lothian.
It's a big town.
It's a sort of collection of, it's a collection of villages. I to think there.
And how old are you, Susan?
I am 47. And that's just one side of me. Hello.
Okay, what's the dream?
I'm trying to be a professional singer.
And why hasn't it worked out so far, Susan?
I've never been given the chance before, but here's hoping it'll change.
Okay, and who would you like to be as successful as?
Elaine Page.
Elaine Page.
What are you going to sing tonight?
I'm going to sing I Dreamed a Dream from the Miserables.
Okay. Big song.
Yeah? Yes.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by. When
Susan Boyle on Britain's Got Talent. Such an extraordinary voice. I've never just heard it. I've always seen it on YouTube, and it's even stronger, I think, when you listen. Her stunning performance has paved the way for a singing career. Her life has changed so dramatically. The show judge, Simon Cowell, is reportedly setting up a recording contract for her. So all of this got us thinking about, what about late bloomers? It's fun to talk about late bloomers, and I'm sure that many of you consider yourself late bloomers. Pearl Boyle is our guest. She is no relation to Susan Boyle, although who knows? Maybe they've got some kind of distant tree. I don't know. Pearl is a self-described late bloomer, graduated from college at the age of 38, became an English teacher, and in January of 2000, read an article in the New York Times about a 65-year-old Kentucky woman who'd waited 39 years to join the Peace Corps. She was inspired by this story, Pearl was, and decided to write a book about late bloomers, even though she had never written anything before. At the age of 47, she decided to leave her teaching job to write full-time, and her book is the story of 12 ordinary women who have done extraordinary things later in life. One didn't graduate from high school until the age of 42, is now a professor at an Ivy League university. Another, a shy housewife, is now CEO of a multi-million dollar corporation. She started her career at the age of 52. Pearl, since her book has written, has given speeches all over the country. The book is titled Defying Gravity, a celebration of late blooming women. And we are so happy to have her with us to talk about this Susan Boyle phenomena and how it's inspired people, really tens of millions of people all over the world, Russia, China, Japan, the United States, you name it. Our phone number is 800-486-8655 for all you late bloomers. And if you'd like to join us by email, that's talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. Hello, Pearl. Thanks so much for being with us.
Hi, Kathleen. It's great
Pearl.
To be here.
Yeah, it's delightful to have you. It's, you know, isn't it? I wonder how many interview requests you've had, because when we heard this on Friday, we thought we got to do a show. We had people doing dances in our studio and we didn't know they were dancers. And it's inspired all this. Here's my hidden talent. Here's what I'd like to do. And we found you on the internet because we wanted to do a show about it. I thought, oh, yeah, you're the perfect guest. And I would imagine a lot of other people have thought that you're the perfect guest to talk about this. Right?
Yes. I am a perfect guest because I'm talking about late blooming and my name is Boyle. So quite fortunate. 33 million people, Kathleen, I saw viewed the most viewed clip on YouTube this morning. There's several ones out there of her, of Kathleen, not Kathleen, but Susan singing, but 33 million on the one that's been most viewed.
Isn't that something? Why? What's going on with it? And I must tell you, the first time I saw it, I cried. I really did. I was watching it with my son, and the tears were just pouring down my face. And every time I hear, I just feel this great lifting in my soul. It just sounds marvelous.
I think everyone feels that way. You know, first she gives us hope. I think that goes without saying. Here she is, a 47-year-old, plain-looking, unemployed woman. Her cat is named Pebbles.
Yes.
She's never been kissed, she said. Oh, just that she's never been kissed. And so what does that say about our own possibilities? It says that they're wide open. Her success also goes against modern stereotypes about age and class and beauty. And I think most of that, us find that incredibly refreshing. And finally, I think, you know, we're social creatures and we see these people clapping and getting onto their feet, and it makes us want to clap and get on our feet as well.
I love what you said about age and class and beauty, because it is true that we judge people like that all the time. And I don't know if in a little way it breaks through some of that, but the fact that she broke through all of that, I just think is inspirational.
I do, too. And, you know, when she sings, I think we feel that we're in the presence of beauty with a capital B.
Yes.
You know, we feel that
yes.
Age is truly just a number and that beauty is something so much more transcendent.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to follow her story. Now, you were inspired when you wrote your book by this woman who joined the Peace Corps when she was in her 60s.
Yes, I was. And, you know, I think this talks about, or it points to the importance of role models. I mean, this woman that was in her 60s that inspired me to write my book is similar to people being inspired by Susan. We, you know, role models are so important. What happened with me with this woman, Winnie Yunker, 65, leaving for Ukraine for a 2-year tour, I just read her story and I thought to myself that she reminded me of my community college students. I was teaching at a community college in Connecticut at the time, and like some of them, she was a single parent. She had very little money, but she had this dream, and she didn't give up on herself, and I was so inspired. I thought, I'm going to write a book about people like this.
And you yourself are described as a late bloomer, right?
Yes, I do describe myself that way. My story isn't quite as dramatic as some of the people that I've interviewed, but when I went to Georgetown University in 1989 to get a bachelor's degree at age 32, I was one of only 3 people at that time that was not of a traditional age getting a bachelor's degree, and I stayed on and got a master's, graduated at 38. When I talk about Winnie Yunker, this woman that became a Peace Corps volunteer in 2000 when she left for Ukraine, she was very unusual, which is why the New York Times did a profile piece on her. Today, the Peace Corps is actually recruiting older volunteers. The oldest volunteer currently serving is in her 80s. So times have changed.
Mm-hmm. You, after the book came out, I know that you received a letter from a 67-year-old Peace Corps volunteer in Botswana, who subsequently has become a very good friend and has inspired other writing on your part, right?
Yes, indeed. She is serving in Malawi in Africa right now. She was before that in Botswana. She read my book. She invited me to come to Africa to celebrate her 70th birthday.
I did.
We traveled all around. We even hitchhiked on the back of a truck. This 70-year-old woman, she was 69 at the time, halfway across northern Botswana. We did speeches for the Peace Corps. It was an incredible experience. And now I'm writing a novel about a late bloomer who goes to Botswana and her whole life changes.
And I know that you were inspired very early on, since 7th grade, I believe, when your mother gave you a book about Jane Goodall. So Africa has been in your dreams for a long time.
Yes, very true. I loved reading about Jane Goodall. I'm looking at a book by Jane Goodall right now. I'm sitting in my living room talking to you. And she still inspires me to this day. I think that brings up another point, which is that frequently with late bloomers, perennials, many of us, the seeds of our passions are visible in our childhood. And I think that's true for Susan Boyle as well. She said to Simon Cowell, or said to one of the people that was interviewing her before she went on stage, that she had had this dream since she was 12 years old.
Oh, the other thing about this story is, I remember a Kurt Vonnegut quote from, and I'm probably paraphrasing here, but when he said that the world needs more human kindness, there's something, I've seen some of those shows, and I must admit I've watched some of American Idol this year because it's a Milwaukee guy who's doing very well on it, so I've been watching it. But there's something about this nastiness that's been pervasive in a lot of these shows, and this show made me realize the world could use more acts of human kindness, because to see the faces of the judges, to see smiles from people, instead of this horrible cynicism and this laughing at people, I don't understand where that comes from. But it was just a sight to behold. I don't know how long it's going to last, Pearl, but I hope it lasts for a while.
I do, too. You know, I feel, and no disrespect to Ann Coulter, but I feel that the Ann Coulters of the world can literally afford to be cynical, but the rest of us, regular folks, are really hungry for hope, and we need hope.
And why is it, from the work that you've done, from Susan Boyle's story, et cetera, that if the passion was visible in childhood, why does it take people sometimes to not have it realized until they're 50 or 47 or 60?
Sometimes life just gets in the way. I think that with Susan Boyle, you know, one of the things, being unemployed, she clearly doesn't have some advantages that other people have. Not only in terms of her physical looks, which, whether we like it or not, helps people advance in life, helps people to be more successful, as unfair as that is.
Right.
But she's also, again, not had necessarily, it doesn't seem like she's had economic advantages. And perhaps it's taken her a while to get the confidence to do what she's done. There's a lot of factors, I'm sure, that I'm not even aware of. for so many of the people that I've interviewed that are now in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, the oldest person I interviewed was 104. For many of us, it's partly generational. As women, I've also interviewed men, by the way, many men, but as women, you know, we were raised not necessarily to think about using our talents. We were raised to think about using, about serving other people, helping others.
Right. And you talk about, you've written about him as well. I'm struck by many of the same stories. I think that you have been the founder who, the guy who won, what's his name, who won the 2006 Nobel Peace Prize for the microloan, which has really taken off and changed the face of poverty in so many countries on this, in this world, a dream of his, and it happened, and oh my, the results of it are marvelous.
Yes, Muhammad Yunus, the man that won the Nobel Peace Prize, he's an incredible person, the originator of microfinancing, as you say. I think his story points to the fact that a lot of times dreams happen by taking one small step upon one small step upon one small step.
Right.
He didn't just get this idea and, you know, form the Grameen Bank. It started with just a simple loan to somebody, I believe, in India, and it grew from there. I think a lot of times we get a little too ahead of ourselves, and it's self-defeating. It's important to dream big, but I think it's also important at first to take the kinds of steps that you can handle so that you don't lose confidence.
Somewhere, Pearl, you wrote, and this is good advice, to do one bold thing a day, and for you, it's anything that would scare you.
I think it's great advice, and it's advice that I have been practicing since January 2000 when I read about Winnie Yunker, that Peace Corps volunteer in the New York Times. I knew that I would have to be stronger and more courageous than I was at that point to be able to call people I'd never met before and ask them if they would allow me to interview them, to get on planes and trains, to go to Botswana, to rent a car. I'd never rented a car before.
Oh, let's welcome phone calls. Our lines are flooded with late bloomers, which is great. We're going to have a lot of fun. We already are on this hour. Here's our number, 800-486-8655. Pearl Boyle, self-described late bloomer, is our guest. No relation to Susan Boyle, but inspired by Susan Boyle's story, as many of us have been. And she has a book, Defying Gravity, a Celebration of Late Blooming Women, which recounts the story of 12 ordinary women who did extraordinary things later in life. She's also been inspired by one of the women that she read about to go to Africa and do a novel. She's also doing poetry books. Pearl is a late bloomer herself, who's been a teacher and went to college in her 30s. And so we're welcoming your phone calls. What do you think of the Susan Boyle phenomena? And we're putting out a call to all of you late bloomers to call and give us inspiration today to be bold. 800-486-8655 is the number. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's go to the many phone calls now that we have. We start with, is it Timalin from Fontana?
Yes, hi, it's Timalin.
Timalin, hi, Timalin.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I'm really humbled to put myself in the company of somebody like your guest or the woman in Britain, but called because I, too, am a late bloomer. I went to nursing school at the age of 42, and I'm now 45, and I'm a critical care nurse.
Oh, good for you.
I wanted to say two things about being a late bloomer. First of all, it really, the difference between that and maybe a career change is that this is something that is really, it feels like a calling. It's really something that became, that is part of me, not really just a choice career-wise or something. But the other thing that's wonderful about being a late bloomer in my case was that, you know, you always hear people say, well, if I had it to do over again. And I think late bloomers show you that you really do have it to do over again, that, you know, you can start your life, change your life, and pursue your dream at any age. And it's really a wonderful gift to take it on and to achieve it.
And what you do is so important. Anybody who's been in a hospital realizes that nurses, another undersung profession, what you do is just like teachers. It is. It is so important.
Thank you. But it really is, too. It's also a privilege to do it. So,
all right. Pearl.
And don't be humbled by us. We can be humbled by you. I mean, you sound so wonderful. And I love what you said, Timalyn, about not just having a career change, it being a calling. I think that's really true when we talk about late bloomers.
Thank you, Tim Lynn, so much for your call. Carry on. We go to Ruthie from Waukesha. Hi.
Hi. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Well, I'm writing the book of my life. I'm 86 years old. And if there's so many misconceptions about age that's so limiting, and people tell me I've broken the record. I wanted to get out of my narrow, traumatic life, and at 18 years old, I joined the Marine Corps. I was the first lady Marine in Wisconsin. When I got out, I got my bachelor's degree, and I did teaching all along. I was doing various types of teaching, and my degree was, and then I practiced dance therapy, and I got my master's at 68, and I continued to give classes and nurturing experiences, and I'm still doing some.
You know, Ruthie, you talked about getting out of your traumatic life. And by the way, 86 years old, I love it. My mother's 86 as well. One of the characteristics that you seem to share that some of the late bloomers, many of the late bloomers that I've interviewed have, is that you're not bitter. You just seem to have such a great attitude. Of all of the people I interviewed, there wasn't a grump in the bunch, and it sounds like you fit that category.
All right, there's another thing to remember, huh? There's not a grump in the bunch. You got to have some happiness. You got to be a positive person. You know, and I'd like to address for a moment, I know that you do as well, in some of the women you've highlighted, you have to think about how different the world was for women when Ruthie was in her 50s or in her 40s or even in her 30s. I know that you write about this Carolyn Howard Johnson, I believe is her name, the award-winning novelist who was applying for a job at Hearst to be an editorial assistant. And, of course, they said, well, you got to take a typing test. Editorial assistant? No way, honey. You're going to be a typist. The world was very, very different for most women in that generation. And for your mom as well, right, Pearl?
Exactly. You know, one of the problems my mother, who is deaf, by the way, has with the internet and learning to use email, which would be such a boon for her not being able to hear, is that my mother is one of those women that never learned to type because she didn't want to end up having to be a secretary, and she knew that that's where she would be placed if she had those skills.
Isn't that something? Thanks, Ruthie, very much for the call. Here's an email that's come in. I'm 45, and I'm going back to school for my bachelor's degree, going into healthcare to have my own facility for the elderly. Just a small place, but I want the elderly residents to give back to the community to help out with reading programs, give to band programs in the middle school. I have a sign up at my desk to give someone power of our example. Then the example of our power. That's great. And then she says, I think the female judge on the panel had it right. Everyone was against Susan Boyle at the beginning, described as frumpy, seemed a little kooky on stage, people cynical of her. Then she started singing, and you knew she had an ace up her sleeve and literally shocked people out of their expectations. I think the surprise is part of what led to the huge popularity for her right now. People love the underdog. The underdog truly has an angelic voice.
I think there's a little, you know, a number of people, I was going online the other day and reading the Huffington Post and Chicago Tribune online, et cetera, and there's a number of people that have been saying, how would the reaction have been if Susan had bombed, if she couldn't sing? And I think that the reaction would have surprised us. I think that, yes, certainly she wouldn't have had, you know, the people standing up and cheering, and she wouldn't have gotten 33 million hits probably on YouTube. But I think still there's a certain segment of the population, among which I include myself, that would have still been inspired that she had the guts, if you will, to get up and to sing at her age, and that she seems so warm and yet and seems to care about people and yet doesn't seem to care what people think of her. And I think that that's refreshing, and people would have picked up on that. In other words, I think we don't give ourselves as humans enough credit for how we react to people like her.
Mm-hmm. Don't you love the... I've been doing talk shows for years and years and years, Pearl. And it's always amazing to me that people, some people who have reached the top of their profession can be snooty as can be and arrogant. But for the most part, they are very unpretentious people. The people who we interviewed, the people who have, you know, written books, who are great thinkers, etc. And she had that quality as well. People who are inspirational just because they are, because they have a talent as well, or we wouldn't have them on the air. But they're just genuine people.
I found, you know, in Timelin, I think I'm pronouncing her right, her
yes.
name correctly, when she called up at the beginning, you know, she was the first one. I sensed that from her as well. I sensed this incredible humility from her, and yet
yes.
she seems really like a remarkable woman, the kind mm-hmm. of woman that I write about.
Right. Thanks, Ruthie, for your call. We go next to Daryl. Hi, Daryl.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Daryl.
And your guest. I'm a late bloomer. I'm 60 years old, and I have been inspired to write based on listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, mostly your show and Ben Marin's show. I have read a couple of my poems on Wisconsin Public Radio call-in programs. Sad to say, my inspiration has been mostly war and the Bush administration. Actually, I met you and your son when he spoke at the Fighting Bob Fest.
Oh, my goodness.
Where I gave you a CD of some of my poems.
Yes.
I guess I was wondering if you had ever given that CD a listen.
Yes, I have actually, Daryl. I haven't played it on the air. But you know, it would have been, if I had known, I would have played some of your poems today because we're talking about this very issue. But if you want to read part of one now, go right ahead. We'd love to hear it.
Well, I sent this one to Senator Feingold before the Iraq War. It's called Arlington. And it goes, so let's get those body bags rolling. Let's have us another good war. Let the napalm fly, hear those sweet jet planes roar. Then as the bullets fly and those young soldiers die, thinking about the U.S., mom, and apple pie, does the flag yet wave? Do parades still march? Do the drum beat of death and the cold wind so harsh? Are children on street corners still popping their pills? Do they yet listen to hip-hop or just the siren shrill? Cries in the night as the firebombing begins, do they hide out in sewers, holding their chins? A mortar explodes very near to me, and in the next instant I feel as though I need to be. But then time races as a bullet in flight, leaving me alone with one single white. Lily in a field surrounded by stones, each one evenly spaced, and from each there comes a groan. And in the groan there is a question, what brought us all here? Was it tradition, love, hate, or just fear? Thank you.
Thank you, Daryl.
Thank you, Daryl. How bold you are.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I don't know if the book's come out or not yet, Pearl. You write poetry as well, right?
I don't write poetry. You said that earlier.
I thought you did.
I don't, but I am writing fiction, and that's a stretch for me. It's my... I'd never written a novel before, and after Defying Gravity, I decided to try my hand at it, and it's been a transformative, revelatory process. We'll see how it does.
Great. Then you can go on to poetry.
I can go on to poetry, exactly. It's not too late.
I love poetry. I was in Galesburg, Illinois. I love to rediscover poets, and the Illinois Blagojevich in his last acts, I guess, closed down a lot of the state historical places, including Carl Sandburg's birthplace, which I'm sorry about because I love Carl Sandburg. But I love Daryl's contribution to it. It's wonderful to write poetry. He was a marvelous poet, so I got one of his books and I've been reading him out loud to myself every night. So I think you should do poetry, Pearl.
Maybe I should. You know, I feel like fiction, poetry.
Right.
I feel like these are media or mediums, which is the plural media, I guess. I think these are media that allow us to get to the truth, perhaps more so than other kinds of communication. I mean, it gets to the more nuanced parts of the truth. So
right.
Very, very valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks, Daryl, so much for your call. Joyce is next from Green Bay. Hi, Joyce.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I don't have anything really that dramatic, but I'm 66 years old, and I got my high school diploma in 1980, and in 2000, I graduated with two associate degrees in computer.
Oh.
And that led to my being able to leave manual labor and get a job you know, more suiting for my age. I went to office work, which was kind of not a big dream, but that was always my dream to get into something office-related. So,
I think that's great. It's not a small thing. That's a big thing. You did your dream, right?
Right. Yep.
Exactly. That's no small thing. That's a huge thing, and it takes so much more courage than I think, you know, it seems like it would on the surface, an incredible amount of courage. So I applaud you, Joyce.
Thank you so much for the call. How many of the women that you interviewed or the stories that you've kept track of over the years have been women and men who have faced sort of hard times at portions of their lives, either divorce or a spouse dying or you know, problems with abuse during their lifetime, sort of a wake-up thing where they wanted to fulfill a dream, but they also had to?
Many, many people fit that category. Actually, I'm attracted to stories like that. I look for stories like that. But I think oftentimes that those kind of situations are what propel one later in life when one has a little bit more freedom. Perhaps their children are grown up, or if they're a man, perhaps their breadwinning responsibilities are less acute, that happens. One woman I interviewed, she ended up becoming a medical doctor at 50, and it's not that she had a lot of trauma in her life or a lot of, you know, major kinds of obstacles, but she did want to be a doctor for years and years, since she was 8 or 9 years old and her father died, and she felt like, I wanted to keep other little girls from losing their fathers. And she was on this track of becoming a medical doctor all the way through elementary school. I'm not really describing this well, but all the way through, this is what she wanted to do. And then she finally graduates almost at the top of her class from college back in the 1960s and doesn't get into medical school. And it's a devastating, devastating experience for her. And she tries again in her mid-40s, ends up going to University of Miami Medical School and getting elected the president of her class. So that's a long way around, you know, really validating your point.
Right. Yeah. Our number is 800-486-8655. We go to Brandy from Madison. Hi, Brandy.
Hello, Kathleen. How are you doing today?
Fine, Brandy. How are you?
Great. Well, I wanted to tell my own story. I worked as an art teacher for about 20 years, and at the age of 44, I decided to become a massage practitioner here in Wisconsin. And I've been doing that now for 15 years, and I'm just part-time. I love it. It's really restored my faith in human nature. I must say, being a teacher, the administrators kind of destroyed my faith in human nature, but my clients have really restored my faith in human nature. I never dreamed that I would be an independent business person. I'm a sole proprietor. And at the age of 46, I went to Jamaica and worked there for 6 months just for a change of scenery, which really helped me to reinvent myself. So I'm just started out and became an independent business person at the age of 46, and it really helped me to sort of redefine myself, and it certainly helped me to a better economic future because I'm semi-retired now and just do this part-time, and it's worked out great for me.
She changed her life, huh, Pearl?
Definitely, and is happy about it, which is the most important
right.
thing.
Yeah, thanks, Brandy, so much for your call. Let's go to Mark from Appleton. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for the wonderful topic. I'm a first-time caller. It's really inspirational. I just wanted to share an anecdote from about 10 years ago. There was a letter to Dear Abby, and the letter writer was a woman in her mid-50s, and she had always been interested in becoming a doctor, like the story you were just describing. And she wrote to Abby and said, I don't even have an undergraduate degree, so I'm going to have to go to undergraduate, get a science degree, then go on to med school, residency, and everything. And it's going to be 10 years. And in 10 years, I'm going to be 66. And Abby wrote back and said, how old will you be in 10 years if you don't do it? And I thought, that was simply the most wonderful answer, and it always stuck in my head. And when I was listening to your program today, I said, that's very much on point.
Yes, it is on point.
Yeah,
and
very true, Mark. It's a great point.
Well, hold on one second. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I just think that having mixed age and experience in the classroom say at the college level is just a wonderful thing for everyone, absolutely everyone. So I really encourage people, no matter what their age, to think about going and getting that degree.
Thank you, Mark. I'm so glad you called. For the first time, we might add, take some courage to call sometimes. Pearl.
Your audience, our listeners, might not realize it, but the oldest college graduate currently in the United States, and maybe this will change in May, maybe somebody older than this woman, is a woman named Nola Oakes, who graduated at 95 with her bachelor's degree.
Mm. Do you know where she lives, Pearl?
You know, I do somewhere in the back of my mind, and I've blogged about her, but I don't have that information.
95.
On the tip of my tongue. 95.
Wow.
Exactly. There's another woman that is deceased at this point, but she actually didn't even have an eighth grade education in her 50s, and she ended up, Elizabeth Eichelberg, I'm searching for her name in my head as I'm talking, her name was Elizabeth Eichelberg, and she didn't even have an eighth grade education in her 50s, ends up getting the bachelor's, the master's, and the PhD in her 90s. So there are a lot of stories out there of people that validate what Mark is saying and obviously enjoy being in the classroom, find it an exhilarating experience later mm-hmm. in life.
I like the story of Jane Work, the therapist, who changed her views completely politically and was working as a therapist, started a private practice. I think she was 63, wasn't she? She's in your book.
Yes, she was. She was 63. Jane, she has just died in the last year, but this is kind of a funny story. In the assisted living facility that she was living at, you know, at the end of her life when she was in her 80s, I believe she died at 89, although don't quote me on that. But she was actually therapizing. I know there's no such verbs, but doing sex therapy and therapizing her fellow residents in the assisted living facility. So she really, you know, lived it with gusto to the end.
We're going to welcome more phone calls in a moment. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our guest is Pearl Boyle, no relation to Susan Boyle, but inspired by Susan Boyle, as many of us have been, author of Defying Gravity, A Celebration of Late Blooming Women. And we're welcoming your phone calls, you late bloomers, 800-486-8655, or send an email if you'd like, and that's talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Returning to your phone calls, Meg is next from Brown Deer. Hello, Meg.
Hi.
Hi.
Good show. I graduated with a degree in math at age 51. In my childhood, or in my high school years, they wouldn't let me take algebra because I was a poor woman. My dad wouldn't let me go to college because, after all, I was only going to become a wife and mother. When my husband died and left me with two children, I went back to school.
Mm.
I got into computer programming at age 55 and worked at that until I was 70. My big comment and big problem is that I think stereotyping is a big problem for us. I could still be working, but I cannot find any kind of job. And I think it's all because of we think older people can't think and can't do things. And I think that's too bad because, obviously, as people on your show have shown, that isn't true.
What kind of work are you looking for?
I would do almost anything. I even applied for a job as a shelver at the library and couldn't get that.
Oh.
And anything that's worthwhile, I can't get. You know, I'm sure a lot of it is because of my age.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm currently 77, and they consider me not able to do anything. My brain is still good. My body is still working. So, and I think this
right.
is true of a lot of people.
Right.
I think we stereotype too much.
Oh, yes, yes. And particularly stereotype when it comes to age, don't you think, Pearl?
I do. There's two points I want to make about this. One is a story that I think highlights discrimination, age discrimination, and also provides some kind of guidance for how to deal with it. A woman that I interviewed, her name is Evelyn Gregory, and at age 71, she fulfilled a lifelong dream and became a flight attendant. And the question to ask is, who would hire her at 71, having never flown before? And the answer is that, as you might expect, door after door slammed in her face, metaphorically, not literally, of course. Airlines are very careful, as most organizations are very careful, not to have the guise of being discriminating. But nonetheless, door after door slammed in her face. And she decided that what she would do, she got a creative idea. She decided that she would let the brass get to know her by getting a job as a gate agent at Raleigh-Durham Airport. And so that's what she did. She got a job. She let them see how energetic she was. She let them see how good she was with people. She made it clear from the get-go that she didn't want to stay as a gate agent. She wanted to be a flight attendant. And lo and behold, she ended up getting invited. She didn't even have to ask. She got invited to join the next class of flight attendants that opened up. So there's a little message in there about having to be much more creative as we get older in terms of combating discrimination. Another point, and the last point I want to make about this, is that the internet also provides, because people don't have to see you, they don't have to know your age, there are ways to start up businesses and to parlay one's skills using the internet to make money these days that weren't available to previous generations.
Oh, do you know a website that might be helpful to her? Or maybe you just Google something?
I would just start Googling things.
Okay.
I don't have specific advice for Meg, but I would just say be open to that idea and start doing some research, because there might be some possibilities there.
Thank you so much for calling, and good luck down the road. Thank you. Let's go next to Pam from Madison. Hi, Pam.
Hey, how are you guys this morning?
Fine, Pam. How are you?
all right, thanks. Tip of the hat to Defying Gravity and Wicked. which everyone should see. I'm classifying myself at the moment as an unwilling late bloomer, because for the last 2 years I've had health issues that turned into money issues, and I'm 59, and which turned into depression, which turned into just a snowball of horrible things that made me feel like 59 was the end of my life. And I've recently, I've been lucky enough to be able to do some work to learn about my past and to learn about where some of my illness came from, and to discover the word rebuilding, that it's not the end of my life, it's that I'm rebuilding a new life. And I'm reminded from Wicked, the line, and let's see if I can get it right, that no one in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever going to get me down. And it's been powerful me before, but now after these 2 years of a total change in my life, remembering that it's within me to make any change happen has been what I know is the door to the future, and there is a future.
I know what you're going through. I've been there the last couple of years myself, Pam. So, yes, I understand. And your voice sounds so strong. I like, you sound great.
Well, yeah, thanks, Kathleen. And good for you for getting through everything you have as well. It's turning the corner and realizing that it's rebuilding and you've got it in you. And to the woman just before who was looking for stuff and you said go to the internet, within her is a passion that if she can let go of the I'm sad because nobody will validate me, if she can go inside and find something she's passionate about, then she can find something to build a web business about.
Right.
And to let go of the victim thing and move on to the rebuilding thing will be where her opportunity is.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Well, hey, thanks for being there.
Yeah, we're happy to. And a lot of this is the passion thing. She mentioned that, you mentioned that, and certainly the women that you feature exemplify that.
Definitely. I mean, passion, I think passion ties into the idea of grit. you know, grit to me is perseverance and passion for one's long-term goals. It's great to be persistent, but passion is that fuel that propels you forward. I wanted to say something, Kathleen, about Pam's idea of rebuilding. I think it's so important to say, instead of, you know, why me, woe is me, etc., to say, how can I move forward? It's a much more productive outlook to just ask yourself, what can I do? What's the next step I can take?
And thank you, Pam, so much for your call. Let's go to Joanne from Plain. Hi, Joanne.
How are you today?
Fine. How are you?
Your show is fabulous. What I wanted to say was that I had raised four children and thought that that was all that was going to be my life in the beginning. And I only had 2 years of college. And in 1990, I decided to apply for a sales manager job at a manufacturing company, and I got it. But, of course, it was a little company, and there was only one other salesperson. Well, long story short, I stayed there 5 years and grew the company a little bit myself with the 7 salespeople we had then, but decided to move on to real estate, went to real estate school, became an agent, and a few years later became a broker and started my own business for 12 years. And then I graduated from UW Milwaukee in 2007 at the age of 59.
Oh, great.
And am now retired and volunteering my work with GLBT people and anyone that needs encouragement.
Oh, you are.
I really appreciate this late blooming thing because it was fear that I had. And if you just get over that fear, you're able to move on.
Prill.
You know, another point that you're bringing to mind as you're talking for me, Joanne, is that we're talking on this show today about passion and about having a calling, but I think that it's important for our listeners to realize that it's we want to be careful of not treating this like people treat finding a soulmate, as if there's one thing that we want to do in our whole lives out of millions and millions of things. I think that's a very intimidating kind of prospect. Sometimes, you know, just like with people, out of 4 billion people on the planet, there could be a ton of people that you could get along with under certain circumstances. And I think that, too, Joanne, when you were talking about being a sales manager and then being a real estate broker and then going back to school, I mean, you might have several interests, in other words, that spark you at different points of your life, different chapters of your life. And I think you've navigated that very well, and it sounds like you're really happy. So, wonderful.
Yes, it is wonderful. Thank you so much for the call. Prill Boyle, you've been a treat. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll call on you again. We've only just scratched the surface here. A lot of people want to talk. Thank you
so much. You're such a treat, too. I love you. You're fabulous.
Thank you, Prill. Thank you, Prill Boyle. She's the author, not related to Susan Boyle, of Defying Gravity, A Celebration of Late Blooming Women. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour and to Rob Schroeder for on-air production here in the studios in Milwaukee. We thought we would end with a little bit of a treat. She wasn't discovered in 1999, but this is the only other recording of Susan Boyle. I have always loved this song. And I've been singing along to it. So thank you, Susan Boyle, for being the inspiration behind this show. We'll have to do more somewhat like it because it's kind of fun. Cry Me a River, Susan Boyle.
Told me you were through with me.